You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, great to have you, and happy Monday, everybody. Or should I say, it's finally Monday. So glad to be back on the air with so much to discuss after an incredible weekend. So much going on with the holidays. We have got a lot to get to, so thank God we have 3 hours to do it, and it is great to have you here. Phone lines are always open, folks. Be part of the show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let me know what's on your mind throughout the course of the show, and participate. Conrad Krieger is here tonight, as per usual. I don't understand why people always say that, as per usual.
Well, per usual, I am here.
But you could just say as usual.
As usual.
Yeah, without throwing in that extra word. Anyway, how are you, Conrad?
I'm good. Yeah.
We've got, you just brought something up, right? And we'll definitely talk Packer Bear stuff because I know that's probably still on people's mind. It was an unbelievable game. It did not end well for Packer fans, obviously, and the Packers are pretty banged up. But we're going to talk about all of that with Conrad, one of the hosts of Make the Call here on Civic Media, and with Mike Clemens at 5:35. But right now, Con, I want to ask you, we were literally leaving the studio last Friday, and did we have our talk about Jake Paul on the air, or was that off the air?
No, we talked about it, and I said, you know, I think he's going to lose one here soon, so he can, you know,
I said he needs to. You said I think he's going, like, you actually predicted it.
I thought he was going to lose one of them, the upcoming fights, whatever he was going to have, so that he could be like, no, it's not rigged. It's not rigged.
Okay, well, mea culpa, I thought it's not rigged. Unless he's crazy enough to tell this huge guy to break his jaw in two places. That is insane. He definitely lost. And, you know, maybe he wanted to have some plastic surgery anyway. And he's like, this would be a good time to get my face beat in. That was insane.
I think this guy who he fought he doesn't care about the money. He wants to show people that he's a good boxer, and
when did that happen in the fight? Like, did you watch the actual fight? I just saw highlights.
So I thought it was at like midnight.
Yeah.
It was at like 10 or something. So I totally missed it. But I saw, you know, replays and stuff, and I just saw the smile on his face when he was about to throw a massive haymaker.
Yeah, he was kind of taunting the guy a little bit.
Jake Paul?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the other guy, too. He was smiling when he was about to punch him.
Oh, really? Okay. Because I saw Jake Paul get clocked pretty good, and then he kind of stuck his tongue out, or he did some kind of crazy thing. The next thing you know, he's on his butt with a broken jaw.
In two places.
That really, like, a broken jaw freaks me out. Because I think you have to have it wired shut. You can't eat. Maybe he's looking for a way to keep the weight off. I don't know. I'm just saying.
He did say he has to eat. He already went through the surgery, and he can't have solids for a week.
Oh, it's just a week?
I think that's what he said. Maybe 6 weeks, he said. Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't sound that bad. So lots to get to tonight, folks. We got a fun show. A lot of great guests tonight, too. As I mentioned, Mike Clemens will be here at 5:35 breaking down the Packer Bear game, which was just insane the other night. And then at 6:10, my pal Paul Gannis. Paul's a really good actor. He will be here at 6:10 telling a great story about Rob Reiner. He was on the film with Rob Reiner and Kevin Costner. And Paul has a great story about actually both of them, but really more Rob Reiner. So we'll talk to Paul about that. I'm going to ask him to tell that story. I think Jennifer Aniston was in the film too. It's totally slipping my mind at the moment. But anyway, Paul will be here at 6:10. We'll talk to Paul. He also has a new project coming out at 6:35 tonight. Johnny Beaner, Madison's own, one of Madison's favorite sons, even though he is a transplant. He has embraced Madison. It is now his hometown. Very funny comic, and I know you know this, Conrad. He was the last new stand-up comedian on The Late Show with David Letterman. Before David Letterman retired, Johnny was the last guy they booked who had never done the show before. And he crushed it. So he's got some new stuff coming out involving a really cool thing with Nate Bargatze. And we'll tell you where you can see Johnny over the holidays. And then at 7:20, we've got, this is going to be really fun. Are you ready for this, Con? You know I like to talk a little mob stuff once in a while.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we've got the two hosts of the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. They're going to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to have these guys on the show. Eric and Steve will be here, and we're going to discuss Milwaukee mob, ties to Hollywood, that kind of stuff. But focusing on the mob in Wisconsin, because there's a lot of Chicago and New York talk when it comes to the mob and all that, but we'll focus on Milwaukee tonight and some really cool stuff. So they'll be here in studio, and I hope they're actually not with the mob, because that would be one heck of a mob hit. Do you think anybody has put a price on us yet?
I don't think
so. I hope not.
We keep it lighthearted here. So, pretty good. I don't think
pretty good guys for the most part, I think. I can toot my own horn.
You know, so I there think, you go. This has got me thinking about something. Yeah. Maybe Jake Paul, a 1v2, us against him. What do you think, Scott? Do you think we're going to win?
Yeah, I think we would. I think two grown men who are in reasonable shape could take one. Now, you know, you just got to go low and hit them fast and hard. that's my advice,
both
Connor.
Of us?
That's my. Yeah, we both go at him. He can't. So you ever notice in a movie, like when there's like five guys in an alley, and mm-hmm. then there's like the martial artist who they'll come at him one at a time. It's like, why? What? Like,
why aren't you, have you numbers. All going?
Go in and get him. Yeah, but it's like a movie, so it's all choreographed. So that would be the mistake you and I would make with Jake Paul. We'd have to like.
You'd go in and I'd say, get him.
like you did in that. What was it?
What
was the sketch we did? We recorded.
So it was. Who would win in a fight?
Between a bear?
It was 100 people versus one silverback gorilla.
Oh, that's right.
Right? That was the thing?
Yeah.
And we actually, you know, we fought it.
Dude, you got to find that. That was kind of funny.
we fought it, dude.
But you fought it. I thought I was the one just like yelling instructions from the wings. So
yeah, you're just like saying like, kick it.
Get him, Conrad. I'll tell your parents what happened that you fought bravely. All right. Without further ado, folks, I think it is time to get to our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Tonight's question, very simply, is what's your question? Are you pondering something in life? Tell us what question you have. Amanda posted this. Our social media guru said, I think, what did she say? Ask Pete or something like that. If you want to ask me something, that's fine. I have no knowledge other than my own knowledge, but you're welcome to ask me a question. But tell us what your question is. What are you wondering? You have a Christmas movie question, a philosophical life question? You can ask any question that's been on your mind throughout the course of your life tonight on Nightlight. I'm turning the tables, ladies and gentlemen. And what did you say, Con, on social media?
Well, I thought it was an Ask Pete. I didn't realize, you know, I asked after Jake Paul lost, do you still think it's rigged?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I do. But that could have been rigged separately. That's right. Amanda kind of took it on herself to change my question.
Well, you know, now you just got to, is it Ask Pete line tonight?
You can ask me. Ask me anything you want. I'll try to come up with an answer, whether I have one or not. I had a really weird, this was interesting. I think you know, my daughter Kate had the flu. I had to go pick her up at Stevens Point. And, you know, I have two shows to do this week, two next week, the holidays. I don't want to get sick. So she said, you know, I'll stay here an extra day and just recuperate and make sure nobody gets sick. Great. Great kid. Sure. Well, I pick her up and I got an N95. We're in the car. I mean, talk about an incubator. Like, she's got a mask on and she's like, I feel pretty good, Dad. And I have an N95 mask on, like the heavy duty. I went to the paint department at Menards and got one because I just don't want to get sick. And I wore that the whole way home. And those are brutal. You ever wear one of those?
I just don't. When I was in college, I had to wear a mask every day, obviously. For
COVID,
the classes
and
stuff. And I hated it so much.
It's kind of brutal, but I was kind of like 5 years ago, even more, I would have said, I got a flu shot. I'm fine. She had a flu shot and she got knocked on her butt. Like, this is a bad strain going around. I really didn't want it. So so far I've been able to avoid. And my son, bless his heart, did not get a flu shot this year, and he's in the house. So we're trying to quarantine everybody. I'm in the car. I'm scared to even itch my nose under the mask because I think one little germ could get up there. And I really don't want the flu this close to Christmas.
Yeah, that would suck. You know, the thing about wearing masks where we live is it's easy to get sweaty under the mask because of how warm it, or, you know, when you get into the car and you have the heat on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's the worst part. We had tickets to see Frank Herman's Christmas show at 1 o'clock on Saturday. This is going to be my whole day. I was going to pick up Kate. We're going to come back. My wife and my son were going to meet us there. My parents, we had six tickets to the show, and Frank does such a great job. And I had to text him that morning and say, two of us have the flu, and my parents didn't want to be around them because they're in their 80s, and my dad's just getting over. It was a nightmare. The only one who could go to the show was me, and I had to pick up my daughter. And so she's in the car. I'm like, I'm going to say, oh, you're fine. I'll leave the car warm, Kate. You can sit in the parking lot. The show's only 2 hours. I'm not going to do that. So that threw my day into upheaval because here's my thinking, Con. Here's where I was going with this. I thought, if we see Frank's show on Saturday and then go out and get a nice dinner, it's already a great day. If the Bears drop the second game of the year to the Packers, at least I will have already had a really good day. So that part was canceled. A lot of pressure on the Bear-Packer game. And then I'm watching that nightmare for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and I'm like, and I'm watching Ben Johnson get out-coached by Matt LaFleur, a guy he trash-talked to when he got the job with the Bears. And I'm like, why would you add that pressure to yourself? I don't know. It was brutal.
Let's just say these two teams are severely banged up, and it's just...
Packers especially now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bears have lost a couple guys for the season. They've got these soft tissue injuries. What is that, a bruise?
I got to say that I can't remember his name, that wide receiver that got the touchdown, like, really stepped up. Not DJ Moore, but the other guy.
Oh, Yade, it looks like it's Jude, but it's pronounced Jade. Jade.
The guy, he tweeted saying, I was homeless like a year ago or something like that.
He went to high school with my nephew in Shaker Heights, Ohio. So we've kind of been following him because he had two clutch catches in preseason. We're like, oh, I hope this guy makes the squad. And then that's only his second NFL catch. Like, that's just a gene. If you're a guy like that under pressure as a rookie and you make a catch, like, you got to keep that guy around. That guy's got the gene. But I know it's tough, but I will say this, the rivalry is definitely back. Mm-hmm. Like, now that the Bears are competitive, definitely. It's a rivalry. And it's like in the 80s when, you know, was it Charles Martin and Chuck Cecil, and there were cheap shots and now they were chippy the other night. You got the Packers cornerback, and you got Jaquan Brisker. If that was a college game, he would have been tossed out of the game. He took a punch at the guy.
Yeah, he did.
But I've never seen a finish like that to a football game. My condolences, Packer fans. You got the Bears a couple weeks ago in a shocker. It would be something if they met in the playoffs again.
That would be fun.
It would be fun. I don't think my heart could take it, but it's a heck of a game. Mike Clemens is going to break it all down for us at 5:35, and it'll be a fun discussion. And join the show, folks. Answer the question. Tell us what's on your mind. We love it when you do that. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a really funny thing I saw, the funniest parody I've ever seen of Home Alone so far, and who played Kevin. And we'll talk about that after a very short break. News, sports, and weather coming up in about 10 minutes. So stick around, folks. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's a perfect kiss somewhere out in the dark, but a kiss ain't enough.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. It is Monday night, folks, and we are at it. During a short week here, a short week of Nightlight. We'll be on tonight and tomorrow night with brand new material and original content and new shows. And it'll be Christmas music from 2 o'clock Christmas Eve. Correct, Con? All the way through Friday?
Yeah.
So there you go. You got Lou Regani, too. If you don't know who Lou Regani is, folks, I would go to the Civic Media, civicmedia.us, and check out his... He has a great show where he just plays oldies, and Lou has a great voice. He's got a lot of great stories, just a really a great personality, and you'll get a dose of him if you tune in here over the next, Wednesday through Friday. So it should be fun, and we'll be back live on Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll have a few more days off as well. Short weeks, so we'll make the best of them. Our question of the night is, what is your question? Tell me what is on your mind. What is your question? Do you have philosophical questions, the meaning of life, gift suggestions, you don't know what to buy? Ask away, folks. You get to ask the questions tonight. We thought that would be fun. Did you see the Ariana Grande thing?
I did. It was actually hilarious.
So those of you, if you didn't see Saturday Night Live this past weekend, Ariana Grande was the guest star. She played Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. And just, I had to like look and go, who is that? Like, I was watching it on my phone, and I'm like, who the heck is that? And when I saw that it was her, it just blew me away. It was hilarious.
It was so funny.
And she comes down, and it says, what was it? They answer the questions of what happened in those awkward moments, and the whole family comes home, and they fall victim to Kevin's traps that had not been released yet. One guy gets set on fire. A couple arms get cut off. That was really funny.
Yeah, Biff.
No, Buff.
No, wait.
Buzz.
Buzz. I was thinking about Biff from Back to the Future. No, Buzz, a fan dropped down and...
No, it just like kept fanned going his whole body, yeah. Right? Just chopped him up. And the dad got a blowtorch to the head, and then kerosene spit on him, and he like imploded, or, you know, oh, God, it was so funny.
And then it was just all just a chaotic dream.
It was great. It was so funny. And then I saw this other thing I thought was hilarious was Bing Crosby and the David Bowie. They sing a Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is great. Maybe it's a little corny. I really enjoy it. I like both those guys. And then that was parodied by Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. But when was that? That's not recent. Was that an older one? Or is that new?
Oh, I don't. Maybe I didn't see that one, actually.
It was very funny. And they said, watch till the end. So the two of them actually sing, and they're pretty decent. So you got to sit through like two. I almost clipped it, but I thought I don't want to make people sit through 2.5 minutes of the song. And then they just kind of, they don't get physical, but they just don't like each other. And they start sniping at each other. It was one of those few times when I'm watching like a social media video and it has that annoying watch till the end, which nothing ever happens. And it's a complete waste of time. This actually was funny. And it's only 3 minutes. If you go to like 2 minutes and 30 seconds, but I would Google John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell, Bing Crosby, David Bowie. It's pretty funny.
See, all right, this is just a thing to do when you always have that title that says watch till the end. Yeah. And if it's on Instagram or TikTok, whatever you're looking, look at the comments first, because the first comment will be like, nothing happened.
My favorite comment when I read something under a social media post that people hated was someone will say, I remember my life before I saw this. It was great. So yeah, that's a good idea though. And this was interesting. I went out to eat with my folks on Saturday and my wife before the game. We went to a local place and I saw this woman spill food on her shirt. Now, what would you do if you did that, Con?
I'd probably like raise my hands in the air and be like, oh, come on. And then walk to the bathroom and clean it off.
Would you yell like wardrobe change? Yeah. This woman spilled like this, some kind of, it was probably queso on her shirt. She reaches down with her finger, swipes it up and puts it in her mouth. Now,
that's not wasting it right there.
Okay, that's fair. That's not wasting it. I understood the rationale behind that. It is bad table manners, I think. Like most people dip a napkin in water and wipe it off. This woman just wasted no time. She's like, nope, you're not getting away from me. Like,
well, you know, sometimes you just can't waste food, you know?
Listen, I get it. It just made me laugh. We had a fun discussion at our table. Like, anyway, so we've got news, sports, and weather coming up in just a couple minutes, folks. Civic Media's team will keep you informed and tell you what's up. Then we've got Mike Clemens coming up right after the news for some sports talk, and he'll break down the Bears-Packers game with us. And lots of fun stuff going on here tonight. We've got Madison-based comic Johnny Beaner will be here at 6:35. We'll tell you where you can see Johnny over the holidays. And my pal Paul Gannis, a great actor and a fellow elementary school parent friend of ours from Los Angeles, will be here. He's got a great Rob Reiner story for you. And then in hour number three, the final act, the final curtain, so to speak, it's going to be Mob Talk. So that's an appropriate way to say it. We've got Eric and Steve from the Milwaukee Mafia podcast. They will be here, and that is going to be a lot of fun. They've got great stories about Milwaukee mob characters and a story about James Caan I'm going to ask them about. It's going to be a lot of fun. So am I missing something, Caan?
I don't think so.
Let's try to get a text in here before we scoot off to the news. Our question tonight, just a reminder, what is your question, folks? We ask the questions all the time. And now I'm putting it out there to you. You can ask us anything you want. Madison in the 608 says, I specifically took off from work tomorrow so I didn't have to think. So I don't have any questions or thoughts for them. That's fair. You don't want to come up with a question? I didn't mean to give everybody homework. I just thought it could be fun. But fair enough, Madison. Monica from the 608 says, why do we make things harder than they need to be? Like having to be a contortionist to get the toilet paper started in a public toilet, especially when the dispenser is metal or a dark color so you can't see through it to see to the end. Why do we need to make this harder? That actually was homework. That was some serious question asking. Monica, I have no answer. Maybe we're all being recorded and they just like to laugh at us. I hope not, because that would be illegal. Great stuff. Keep those questions coming, folks. Great to have you with me. Mike Clemens is coming up after the news, so stick around for news, sports, and weather. It is next. I am Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In a game like that, even though the odds are against us there that late, you know, we're going to keep on swinging and make some plays when we needed to. So I couldn't be more proud of the group. I'm very fortunate to be in the position I'm in, coaching these guys, and not something I take for granted.
On the fake, Williams looking downfield, launching downfield, going for it all! It is caught! Bears win it! DJ Moore!
I'm sure there are Packer fans that did not need to hear that highlight again, but that was the voice of Ben Johnson in the final play of the Bears-Packers game, which ended 22-16 in favor of the Bears. And here to break it all down, I mean, the rivalry is definitely back. There was drama. There was, you know, the catch was DJ Moore caught it over the same guy that intercepted the pass 2 weeks ago. Great storylines. And here to break it all down is Civic Media Sports Authority in the studio, I might add, Mr. Mike Clemens. Hey, buddy.
Hi, how are you?
Boy, you had a weekend, huh?
Yeah, busy, busy, busy. Got out of the stadium about 1, worked until about 4, back at the hotel.
Wow.
Got a call at 6 from one of the networks that I deal with. Yeah, it's football.
People yeah.
Say, oh, you probably went out and drank and partied and all that. Like, no, dude, no, there's too much stuff to cover.
That was the first time. I have not heard Soldier Field that loud in so long. And it's that to me said, you know, Bears fans wanted revenge for 2 weeks ago, but mostly it said this is a rivalry again. It's not just the Packers' dominance, which has been, without exception of a few interspersings, 30 years almost.
I started taking note of that in the fourth quarter because with 5 minutes left to play, Green Bay had pretty much controlled the whole game.
Yeah.
They had not outscored them. But the offensive line, you know, kept Malik Willis protected.
Stepped up, yeah. You know?
They were running the ball, running jet sweeps, moving the ball. Defensive line contained Caleb Williams. The secondary had plaster coverage on their receivers. Caleb didn't have much to throw to.
Right.
And then Ben Johnson took the gloves off, started calling shots, started calling plays. And this is what Caleb does. And that's how they've been winning a lot of their games. But on that touchdown play at the end in overtime,
yeah.
We asked, because I cover both locker rooms. I never understand why people just talk to one team.
Right.
There's great stories on either side.
Oh, yeah, especially in this game, yeah.
And Ben Johnson alluded to it, and Caleb, the quarterback, said, yeah, Ben called me on Wednesday. I went in. We looked at some stuff. He showed me this particular play. We went it over. We ran some reps on it on Thursday, and they had that in their pocket all night. And they pulled that one out when they had a first down after they had regained control of the ball when Malik had this unfortunate quarterback center exchange, snap, and he fumbled. And they just took that shot, 45-yard play, and beat Keyshawn Nixon on a crosser.
It was an amazing throw. It was like in the air 55-plus yards, and he was kind of fading when he threw it. It looked like an Aaron Rodgers type thing. But here's what I don't understand. I heard that. Oh, we practiced it. It was just there was nothing fancy about the route. It was like a post route, right? Right down the field. Like, they didn't have that in the arsenal already?
No, it's the formations.
Okay.
You know, it's the stuff you do pre-snap. Okay. It's the placement. It's anticipation, what you're going to see in that situation, in that part of the field, on first down, what you anticipate Halfley's going to give you for a defense, and what just might work. But you know, let's keep that one in our pocket. Yeah. That particular situation. I just think Ben Johnson essentially just wants to make sure about ball security and keep him in the game and then let him take his shots. Now, I asked LaFleur about the play yesterday after he'd had a chance to see the tape. He said, yeah, we've seen that play. Yeah, sure. So he's also trying to be the coach who says, I knew they were going to do that. Yeah. Right. I could have told you they were going to do that, but he didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't communicate that to their secondary, and they got burned.
So many times during that game, I'm like, what is he doing? And when he launched it, I'm like, why? You're 5 yards from field goal range. Cairo had kicked it well, and the Packers, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, Ben Johnson got outcoached, in my opinion. Like, he got cute initially, and I thought LaFleur had a great game plan, and it was working. I mean, am I wrong about that?
No, I actually tweeted by the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth, it's like, where's the Detroit Lions, Ben Johnson?
Yeah, right.
Where's the razzle dazzle? You know, the fake to this, fake to that, throw back to the quarterback. He would set that up with Jared Goff, and I just started thinking, well, it's because Jared Goff is a little more advanced,
right?
More years under him. He had all that time, but I think he's still bringing this quarterback along, the second year quarterback, that lets, you know, ball security. Let's not turn over the ball. That's a really good defense over there, and I want to respect that defense. But I even tweeted, like, where's this Ben Johnson offense? This looks kind of stale.
Yeah, yeah.
They're running, like, the same thing over and over again.
Eberflus was still there.
And they were having a hard time getting their running game going, which just a couple weeks ago scorched the Philadelphia Eagles. They ran 281 yards.
Yeah.
They got to Green Bay. Their longest run was 9 yards in that game that the Packers won at Lambeau.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
But it's just kept them in the game, kept them in the game. And then they had a couple of, you know, plays fall their way.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's decide to go for, after we get the field goal, let's go for the onside kick. And so you make this big declaration, you know, we're going to have an onside kick. And Cairo Santos makes this beautiful onside kick over to his right-hand side. There's Romeo Doubs, and the ball bounces off his chest, and there's a huge pile. And the Bears recover. Like, are you kidding me? And Doubs was having a good night. He'd had 5 catches. Nice touchdown reception from Malik Willis, who had to fill in at quarterback. You know, Jordan Love goes down with a concussion. He took a headshot from big Austin Booker, big defensive line for the Bears, helmet to helmet.
Right.
But there's Doubs, a receiver, supposed to be good with his hands, and he just can't get the handle on the football. It's bobbling around. And at that point, then after the game, we went up to Romeo Doubs and said, all right, so what happened on the muffed onside kick?
I missed it. That's just this game, bro. I repped the all week. And, bro, somebody got to be responsible, and I'm willing to take on 1,000% of it.
Well, you injured your arm, though, on the play. Kind of hard to maintain security of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's just this game. This is the injury rate in this is high, and that's it happens, you know.
Did the wind affect it at all? It was very windy when the ball's in the air. This was on the ground.
Nah, man. I just misjudged it. Credit to them. It was a great kick by him. And, you know, just on my end, I got to be better on securing the ball in a, you know, situation like that. But it is what it is, man.
Is that the position you're in on onside recovery when you rep it throughout the week?
Yeah, all situations from, you know, being down X amount of points or a tight game, something that we do throughout the week. I just didn't do the job right. Like I said, man, I'll take 100% of this game.
That clip compliments of my guest who is here in studio with us, Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens, who he was answering your question, Mike. That was great. Boy, you feel for the guy. That's like not how you want it. You don't want to be that guy.
No.
If he catches it, it's over.
Right. Right. I mean, and he's in the last year of his contract, too.
Oh, man. And he got injured on the play, too.
Exactly. He got an injured wrist out of that. Then a couple of ticks later, all of a sudden, Caleb Williams is back at quarterback. They're down by a touchdown. And he hits this rookie receiver, Johnny Walker. And he's wide open in the side. And well, yeah. they ran a play where they did a bit of a pick, kind of a crisscross. And Nate Hobbs gets confused with Keyshawn Nixon, and this kid's wide open for a touchdown. And on that play, I saw Rashawn Gary, you know, the guy's one of their higher paid defensive end and linebacker,
yeah,
run off the field on third down. Like, dude, it's fourth down. What are you doing? And I see him. I've got the binoculars on this. He's cramping or something.
Oh, really?
He has to get off. So Brenton Cox Jr., who's a second-year man. He's been on the injured reserve list. He just got off a couple of weeks ago. He comes running in, number 57, and he, no one's touching him. So Caleb is back to pass, and he almost sacks him.
Right.
He's like a fingertip away, could have sacked him. Instead, Caleb gets the ball off and scores that touchdown to tie up the game and send it overtime. So I went to Brenton Cox and said, you almost had him.
Is that number four?
Two.
Two.
I mean, that's a play that it's not like they invented something right there.
The one says Brenton Cox.
I don't have that one.
You don't?
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I talked to Brenton Cox, and he just talked about the fact that, yeah, he came that close to having it on that play. And, you know, the fact that Caleb Williams is good and just in those moments can stand in there and deliver.
Jahdae Walker, too, in preseason had a couple game-winning catches. Like, there are some guys that just have that ability. And this is his second catch in the NFL in a regular season game. His first did come earlier in the game, a big catch for him. But it's to your point, Mike, there was almost another unsung hero that was the hero if he had gotten to Caleb Williams. That would have ended the game as well. Where do you see the rivalry right now? Is it back full force? Like, there were some cheap shots the other night. Jaquan Brisker probably would have been thrown out of a college game if the refs had seen that. Is the rivalry back in full force? And do you think the coaches have embraced it? Because I don't like the trash talk. I feel like the rivalry is great enough. I don't think we need to incite it more like Ben Johnson is doing. And I thought he got cute early on. And I thought the Bears were way too amped up when they came out. Like, obviously they had watched films of old Bear Packer games or something. They didn't seem like they wanted to play football. They
Excellent
wanted to
point.
Fight.
Excellent point, and I'm glad that you picked up on that, which to me made no sense why LaFleur, the Bears win the toss. They elect to kick off and to defer. Packers maintain possession of the ball. The Bears are flying around, as you say,
yeah,
but the Packers are able to get, you know, down into Bears territory. Then that drive, breaks down, and they go for it on fourth down. I'm like, are you paying attention to where the Bears are right now? Take the points.
Right.
And he didn't. And they didn't convert. No, and the Bears took back over. But, you know, it's just they seem to throw out the analytics or whatever. In the meantime, you know, later in the second quarter, Jordan Love gets this helmet-to-helmet shot, gets knocked out with a concussion. So we talked to Aaron Banks, who's the left guard, about if he had a chance to talk to Jordan Love, after the game.
I talked to him for a second at halftime, but there's just a lot going on, so I didn't get a chance to really, really check in with him. But it's hard. It's definitely hard, especially the nature of, you know, how it happened.
I mean, they called, what's the flag they called on that roughing the passer? I just don't get how guys get kicked out of game for taunting, but if you hit a quarterback late in the head, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that should get the same treatment as something as, you know, simple as taunting. You know, I think that that has to be reevaluated. I think that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Boy, how do you think that, I mean, Austin Booker, he got penalized. I would imagine he's going to be fined. But was it malicious, Mike, in your opinion, or was it just a football play? I mean, Jordan kind of lowered his head at the last moment, but he would have hit him. It was going to be a vicious hit either way.
You know, I don't know. It all happens so fast. These guys don't want 15-yard penalties against their team.
Right.
But, you know, he got his shot in. Then we went to Big Colby Wooden. He is a defensive lineman and said, you know, at the end of the game, the Bears make some sort of an adjustment, or did they do something, you know, to the game plan you weren't counting on?
Let's come back with that, okay? We got to a really short break. Mike Clemens is here. We're going to open with that clip when we come back. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, just move yourself and glide like the 747 and lose.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
There were so many plays in this game that if they go different, or if we make a play, or if we don't fumble, or if we aren't 0-for-5 or whatever in the red zone. So it's never just one play. It's never just one phase. And that's where I have so much confidence with our guys, that these guys will rally around each other. They'll support one another. They'll lift the guys that need to be lifted up, and they'll battle.
That is the voice of Packer coach Matt LaFleur. I'm Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight, and the clip is compliments of my in-studio guest right now, Mr. Mike Clemens, who does such a great job covering the NFL, specifically the Packers. But you feel for Matt LaFleur, too. Like, you can't game plan any better. I mean, his game plan was working. I thought they had made adjustments since the first meeting, because I thought the Bears are just going to come out and run the ball like crazy. But they were ready for him.
Well, and then you're making these mistakes. Like we talked about, you screwed up the onside kick.
Yeah.
Other things along the way, you've got a quarterback exchange with your backup quarterback, Malik Willis. The ball goes on the ground. Bears recover. You know, you give them that opportunity. And then even a face mask call. You know, one of the defensive linemen from Green Bay, just reaching up, trying to make a play. But, you know, if you touch that bar on the face mask, it's going to be 15 yards. So I went to Colby Wooden, who's one of those big interior defensive linemen who did such a nice job of containing the Bears' running game and their quarterback, you know, Caleb Williams. I said, did you get a sense that the Bears were making adjustments in their offense or their formations? Or, you know, what do you think was happening at the end of this game?
Bro, we just didn't finish, bro. We just didn't finish. We didn't finish, bro. We didn't finish, bro. That's... We just ain't finished, man. That's it. We just ain't finished.
I mean, and that's it.
It's, what can you say? What? Yeah.
And I forget. I'm sitting in a toasty press box. This is nice as the studio is right now. But you go downstairs and you get in that tunnel and that blast hits you from the field.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, they've been out in this stuff for the last 3.5 hours hitting each other. You can even, when you stand next to these 6'6", 320-pound guys in the locker room, with the smell of the grass stains on them, and the cold is still sort of coming off their body.
Right.
By the way, there was this one thing where Erin Andrews was the sideline reporter for the game, and she said that the heaters weren't working.
Heaters weren't working.
Oh, how about that? I imagine
what
that.
What are the odds?
Visitors. Only on the visitors' side, the heaters weren't working. How about that?
They got them going again, though, right?
You know, 60 years ago, Hallis used to do this with Lombardi. The cold showers in the visitors' locker room. The fine traditions continue.
What do you make of the coaching rivalry right now, Mike? I saw this thing on social media where supposedly Ben Johnson went to shake. You know, the first meeting a couple weeks ago, LaFleur did a very quick handshake and kind of slapped his shoulder with his scorecard. There is this speculation that Ben Johnson did the same thing, shook his hand and took his scorecard and hit LaFleur. Like, are they trying to, or maybe it's just Ben Johnson, but is LaFleur going to take the bait? Like, he seems like he's handling Ben Johnson's little psychic games pretty well.
I think it's just simply this. Ben's a sharp offensive mind, had been with the Lions. The Lions, the Dan Campbell regime started 2 years after LaFleur had already been in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years. It completely changed the Lions franchise that hasn't had a championship since the 1950s and only been in the playoffs a few times. Went 0-16 a few years.
Right.
You know, and that was with Matthew Stafford, a quarterback. And they started beating the Packers. And, you know, that's a rivalry alone. Ben Johnson gets hired by the Bears. He tells all the fans, I love this job. Last summer, I brought my family here to a Cubs game. I had no idea. I love Chicago. And I'm going to love beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. That's all he said, because he's already been doing it as a Lions offensive coordinator. And it also harkens back to something that Lovie Smith did 20, 25 years ago when he said, the top three things we're going to do is we're going to beat the Green Bay Packers, we're going to win our division, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl, which he did. They didn't win, but they got that far. So, he's playing to the press, that's all. LaFleur doesn't want to get any part of that. LaFleur doesn't want to be a meme. He doesn't want to be...
Right.
He doesn't want to be, Dennis Green, and we knew they were going to crown him. He doesn't want to do that, but there's competition. So if these guys decide to have these quick handshakes, whatever, let it happen.
Mike, we have about a minute left, maybe not even. We have about a minute left. Malik Willis came in, did a great job. With a concussion, you just don't know. Who's more likely to be healthy enough to go this weekend, if you even know that? I don't.
I would assume that Jordan Love would be ready, but who knows? I mean, that's up to the protocol. And, and then Malik Willis at the end of the game has a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
And to be frank, I'm not sure if it's the throwing shoulder or the left shoulder. I don't think if we got that. But we did find out that the emergency quarterback is either Josh Jacobs, the running back, or Jaden Reed, the wide receiver.
I heard that. I was like, oh, my God. Con, any closing thoughts? Why don't you jump in here, buddy? I know you're lamenting all the injuries the Packers have right as the playoffs.
I mean, it sucks, but,
And then they play the Ravens on Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Lambeau Field, and Lamar Jackson's got a bad back now. He had to leave the game yesterday, the Ravens game yesterday, with a bad back.
Is there a word on him yet for this weekend? Is he out?
No.
We don't know yet?
Yeah, we won't know until Wednesday or Thursday when they start issuing the injury list, and if they're able to participate in practice.
Lots of storylines to follow, Mike. You got your work cut out for you.
I do.
Thank you for coming by. This is fun. Always love having you here, buddy.
Love the show,
Peter. All right. Thank you. That's Mike Clemens. Follow him on Twitter, Mike Clemens NFL. He posts great stuff, and his commentary is unparalleled. We are coming back in hour number two. Actor Paul Gannis will be here with a great Rob Reiner story and comedian, Madison-based comedian Johnny Beaner. It's going to be a lot of fun in Act Two. Do not go anywhere, folks. Our question of the night, what's your question? It can be anything. Let me know. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.